the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called unto them, come and dine. And there they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assembled be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all those saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. And he who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Oh, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. And with his manna he doth feed, he supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
God bless you. Let's stand this evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. This is 675 in your hymn book. Are you thankful for Calvary? Amen. Without Calvary, where would we be?
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, and knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary.
Why don't you turn and greet one another this evening in the name of the Lord?
Amen.
Have any new prayer requests, but definitely want to remember what we had this morning. And if you have an unspoken prayer request, make that known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. I want to greet each one, all of our visitors, and good to have Brother Jeff Bryant, Brother Morris Bryant, and Sister Wanda back there visiting with us. Brother Jeff, would you come and take these needs before the Lord in prayer? Appreciate that. Good to have all of our visitors and each one of our home folks here to make a joyful noise and lift the name of the Lord. Amen. Brother Nathan said, if you feel up to it, brother, he'd like for you to sing a special after you pray, but you can veto that. God bless you, brother.
Let's bow our heads and hearts. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the time and the opportunity. We appreciate your grace, Lord. If it weren't for that, where would we be? To come here, Lord, in fellowship with a portion of your bride, God, that we get to spend eternity together someday. My wife and I were talking, Lord, recently about how do you grasp or get a hold of a great thing as the rapture? We just live on it and believe it by faith, oh Lord. It was taught to us by your prophet. And We honor it. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for every person who's here, the needs, Lord, that are here tonight, every request. We pray, God, that you'll minister. You know the needs, Lord. You know all of our needs. Help us all in Jesus Christ's name. I was at Brother Shrewsbury's church one night in Beckley, West Virginia, and a brother had told me before, it was his convention, there was probably 300 or 400 people there that night, and he said, Brother Jeff, said, Brother Roy's going to have you preach tonight. I said, oh, you wouldn't do that, we're in a convention. I said, he would have let me know. And, but sure enough, when I got there, he took me outside the office, and all the brothers were praying together, and several ministers there, and he said, Brother Jeff, said, I have some of the brothers testifying that, and I want you to bring tonight's sermon. I thought, oh, Lord. I thought, my. So I feel about the same way here tonight. But anyhow, I sure love Brother Nathan. I sure love you people. And I don't know of anybody I'd want to see miss heaven or miss the rapture. Do you? Amen. Nobody. And I've met some real good people in life, and I've met some real bad people in life, claim to be Christians. But I don't know of anyone I want to see lost. If God don't mind, he could let the lowest bar fly in this area go to heaven. I don't care. That's what he wants to do. Somebody said, well, I don't want him there because he ain't worked as hard as I have for the Lord. Well, something to think about, isn't it? Yes. Amen. Did you have a preference for the nation or something?
Where do you have any preference?
I guess just saying Jesus on the mainland, and how about QV? Oh, Jesus on the mainland, tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the great mainland, tell him what you want. My Jesus on the mainland, tell him what you want. My Jesus on the mainline now. Oh, Jesus on the mainland, tell him what you want. My Jesus on the mainland, tell him what you want. My Jesus on the mainland, tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainline now. Oh, if you need more victory, tell him what you want. If you need more victory, tell him what you want. If you need more victory, tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainline now. Oh, Jesus on the mainline, tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainland, tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainland, tell him what you want. My Jesus on the mainline now. I'd like to say this before I sat down. Not too long ago, it hadn't been a long time ago, the Lord let Brother Brown come to me, and I saw him in a visitation, and there was a huge line there in the service that night. Brother Branham was sitting down in a chair up front in the service, and the prayer line was going, and I come up in the prayer line, and Brother Branham was just sitting there, and he was writing on a piece of paper like with a pencil, and he was sitting down, and he looked up at me. He said, that thing that's been fighting your ministry, God's going to take it out of the way. And after Brother Branham said that, he got up and left the service. So I turned around and looked at the huge line that was behind me, and I asked the brothers that were there, Brother Branham, I said, and Brother Branham going to pray for the rest of these people? And then brothers looked at me. I'll never forget what was told me in that visitation. Said, only the bride gets in. So I thought, Lord, what a great thing to be in the message and to be in this end time bride. I'm glad, aren't you?
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. You appreciate that tonight? Well, I must be an idiot to try to follow that. But Brother Joshua, can I borrow you tonight for a few minutes? I got a song in my heart that I'd like you to play. There was a brother had texted me a song recently, and a precious brother that I love a lot, and he had sent me a video on YouTube of somebody singing it, and I told him, I said, that's one of my favorite songs to sing, and he said, well, the next time you sing it, let me know, and I'll be there, and so he happens to be here tonight, and so I'm going to try to sing this tonight. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. You know how this morning I didn't hardly have enough voice to preach, and I was trying to take it as easy as I could, and we saw that worked out, but tonight's the last service of the day, and I'll have a few days to rest my voice, so boo devil. Amen. So I hope you brought your shouting shoes tonight, because Amen. I believe that the Lord, not because Nathan Bryan is here, but because Jesus Christ is here, I believe we're going to have church tonight. Oh, there's a light in the window, and the tables spread in splendor. I know someone's standing by the open door. Oh, and I can see the crystal river. Lord, I know I must be getting near forever, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. Oh, it's just about home time. Oh, and I can't see my father standing at the door. Those sweet faces, all familiar, but no one's old, no one's feeble anymore. Sometimes my lonesome heart gets to crying. Church, I feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, somebody help me worship him. The family gathered, their sweet faces so familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Nobody's got Alzheimer's, nobody's got cancer. This lonesome heart gets to crying. Sometimes I feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. God bless you richly. Good to be in church tonight. Amen. Feel the presence of the Lord here already and just want to make his presence welcome. Amen. Thank you, musicians. And, you know, Brother Branham and the Word teaches us that wherever two or three are gathered together, that he's in our midst. And we recognize it's not about numbers, but we have more than two here tonight. And so if we came in his name, then he promised that he would be here. But what I want to do tonight, the question is not whether he's here or not, but we just want to make him welcome tonight. Amen. That whatever he would want to say or do or however he would want to have his way in this service, we want to give it completely to him. And want to greet again. I know my, I know Brother Furman had mentioned it, but both of my uncles back there, Brother Morris and Brother Jeff, and my Aunt Wanda, and want to make them feel welcome here tonight and appreciate them coming to the service. And Brother Jeff was in town and preached for Brother Morris this weekend down in Liberty and Sellersburg as well. We're just getting back from being out of town. We didn't get a chance to hear him, but I hope the Lord blessed the services there in a mighty way. And if it hadn't been for brothers like them that were willing to give a young preacher a chance when I didn't have hardly any experience and nervous and clung to my notes, if God hadn't let men like that give me a chance, we probably wouldn't be here tonight. So I appreciate them and them doing that. And I know them well enough to know they didn't just do that because I was their nephew, but because they saw God placing a gift in a young man's life. And I certainly appreciate them opening their doors to me. And I'm good to have Brother David and his family with us tonight as well. God bless you, my friend. And each and every one of you, it's good to be here tonight. Amen. In the presence of God. What a blessed people that we are. You realize this presence that we feel here tonight, there are people that seek their whole life trying to find what we have the privilege to enter into service after service. And not only at church, but in our homes when we gather together to pray, or when we're driving in our car and we turn on a tape and begin to hear a prophet of God from Kentucky say, "Good evening, friends." And you just feel that presence begin to settle down around you. We are so blessed. Many times we take it for granted, but I'm so thankful for his presence. Amen. As we looked at this morning about Aaron's staff and the rod, how that it would bud, and because it sat in the presence of the Shekinah glory, and how that it was always off of an almond tree. It wasn't that it wasn't an almond tree or that it wasn't an almond stick, but without that life, it couldn't bud and it couldn't bring forth fruit. So I'm thankful that we don't just have the word in this day. I'm so thankful for the word, but without the spirit to quicken the word, it just lays there as dead letter. But I'm thankful that God can send life and send his presence to anchor that word down in our hearts. Amen. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. If you want to turn with me tonight and just want to look at verse 49 there. Jesus speaking to the disciples. This is after the resurrection, but before he ascends. And it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, as we look this morning into the word and saw many of the scriptures, Lord, pertaining to Aaron's rod and the quotes what the prophets shared with us about how that once in the presence of that Shekinah glory, how that your spirit would make that live again. We recognize today, Lord, that we have a living word that has been brought forth, Lord, and we had the written word, but it took a prophet to come and give us the revealed word and to bring us back from man's ideas and traditions and dogmas and creeds and to restore us back to the original word. But Lord, we're so thankful to have the written word, and we're so thankful by revelation to see the revealed word. But Lord, we don't want it to stop there, but Lord, we want it to settle down in our hearts and become the living word tonight. Amen. Lord, we want the word to live again in human flesh, Lord. Not that we, Lord, we could never replicate or imitate the prophet's gift, Lord, that was one to an age. Lord, we've been taught, we're not here to try to reproduce what he did, but yet, Lord, we believe that you still move amongst your body in this age. And so, Father, we want to find our part, and may the word and the spirit come and quicken themselves in our lives, Lord, that we could see what you have for us to do. Lord, may we do our part to the best of our ability. The devil loves to come in and upset. He loves to discourage and try to hinder even from a young age, a child, to help them build a complex or whatever it would be, or hurt them as a young child, give them emotional scars, to try to hold them back from whatever God is trying to do in their life. But yet, Father, there's something about it. The Holy Spirit begins to take and break all those scars and Lord, all the complexes that we would build up through hurts and disappointments of life or things and traumas that we've gone through, Lord. But may your Holy Spirit come tonight and make the word live again, Father. May it be something real. Lord, we thank you for the quotes and the scriptures, Lord, but we need it to be more than just a quote or a scripture tonight. We need you to come and anoint that word and make it life again. Not just for the pastor, not just for the deacons, Lord, but for those that are sitting, Lord, in our midst tonight in the sanctuary. Lord, I pray that it would become more than just theological learning and more than just doctrinal education, Lord, but that it would become a living reality in the hearts and souls of individuals, Lord, that they could be a walking, talking body of Christ on the earth, Father. None of us claim to have the fullness, Lord. Only you had that, but yet you came back on the day of Pentecost and divided yourself among believers, Lord, so that you could come and live. Lord, I don't believe you did that just so that we could sit in our basements and hide out and be afraid of getting worldly cooties or afraid of being deceived by somebody. But Lord, I believe you, when you call, you commission us to go and to do our part, whether it be the housewife teaching the children or whether it be the worker out on the job shining a light, Lord, or the young person in a school living a life there in the midst of criticism and peer pressures and all the evilness in this world that to prove to Satan that there's still overcomers in this age. And Lord, we're so blessed to be a part of what you're doing in this age. We don't claim to be all that you're doing, but we're thankful to be a small part of it here in New Albany, Lord. And we just ask that you take complete control of the service, anoint in a mighty way as you see fit, Lord. And may people go out of here tonight encouraged and strengthened, and may you receive glory from it in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. Jesus had told him to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem. He's come and he's lived a perfect life, the only one that could ever say that he lived a perfect life. Of all the prophets and all the saints of old, all the kings and the priests, the rich men and the poor, he was the only one. St. Paul couldn't say it. Moses couldn't say it. Even Brother Branham couldn't say that I always do that which pleases the Father. But Jesus could stand in a flesh body and the fullness of the Godhead come and living in him. And he could stand there and tell those Pharisees that he always did that which pleaseth the Father. He could live a life of an example before the disciples that they could see God made flesh, a living reality before them. And he would turn and tell them before his departing, he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. He didn't say if you can quote the right creed or if you can memorize the right verse or if you can go through a certain works or go through a certain motion or attend service a certain amount of times. He said, by this shall men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for another. And yet, what an age that we live in to see such a lack of love, even amongst the believers, that one against another, and this one arguing with that one. We get into quote wars and bickering with one another and taking sides. Whose side are you on? Who's your pastor? Where do you stand? Where do you go? What revivals do you attend? And we begin to try to subculture everybody off into our little boxes and so we can feel comfortable knowing who they are and what they are. But yet, one would come and live a perfect life and tell us this is how you'll know that if you're a disciple of Jesus or not is if you can have love one for another. So to me, that's the testimony of a true disciple, is if we can love somebody. As I said this morning, maybe you've been hurt by people. Maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe by message believers. Maybe by church leaders. Maybe by your family members or your friends. You've been hurt and you've been disillusioned. And maybe Satan tries to get on your shoulder and tell you you could never forgive that person or you could never pray for that person. But Jesus would stand there and they would take his hands and nail it to a tree. They would beat him. They would pluck beard from his face. They would spit on him. They would stripe his back. He took my stripes and my nails and my crown of thorns, and yet he would be able to hang there on Calvary and say, Father, forgive. He didn't cry for judgment like a lot of us do. Oh, Lord, if you really love me, you'll make that old guy pay for what he did. But he cried for forgiveness. And said, by this shall you men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another.
And so he tells them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they're endued with power from on high. He tells Peter, he said, now, Peter, he said, I've prayed for you. He said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but he said, I've prayed that you'll be okay. And when you're converted, strengthen the brother. Now, no doubt this was a shock to Peter. Here by this point, Peter by revelation has recognized, he has seen by revelation in his life that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's walked away and left everything. He's left his occupation. He's left his family. He's left his old dead church. He's walked away from everything that was holding him back to follow this man. And now he turns and tells him, now, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brother. And he says, but Lord, Didn't I cast out devils in your name? Haven't I been over here in Capernaum and different places preaching the gospel? And remember, Brother Branham would say when Jesus would pray for the epileptic boy, he said Peter and them had been trying to pray for him before Jesus came. And he said, now Peter said, now stand back, boys. This is how I did it over in this city. And maybe James would come and say, well, this is how I prayed for this one over in this city. And they had been commissioned to cast out devils in Jesus' name. But yet he tells them, go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. So we recognize that there's a difference in anointing and the power indwelling in somebody. Brother Bam said anointed ones at the end time there in 1965. He said there's many that feel the anointing on their flesh. There were many Pentecostal preachers that my uncles could get up and tell you a lot more about than I could, that they could do. They could almost copy the gift in Brother Branham's life. And they would call out people, and many times they would get it right, but there were times they'd get it wrong. They've sat in services where men have called out things in their life that nobody knew about, but yet then those same men maybe turn around and slap their wife upside the head, or maybe go out and get a little drink on the side, or maybe miss it 1/10 of the time, or whatever it would be when they would try to step into that discernment. But we had a prophet in this age that didn't miss it once. Because it wasn't him, it was something on the inside. It was God speaking through a man. People try to make the man Jesus, but it wasn't that the man was Jesus. It was that Jesus dwelt inside the man. As I told somebody the other day, if the man was Jesus, then when he stood there in the prayer line, he'd say, I'm as helpless can be. And I don't know who you are, and I don't know what your trouble is. And then turn right around and say, now he's here, and I take every spirit under my control. And he could stand and say, this is your name, and this is your address, and this is what your problem is. This is what your doctor looked like. This is what he wrote on your chart. And they'd say, yes, Brother Branham, that's right, Brother Branham. And then he'd step back and he'd say, now was what he told you the truth? He said, now I don't know what he said. It's like a dream to me. I'll have to go back and listen to it on the tape later. So if he was Jesus, he would have remembered what it was. But he tells us that he granted him temporary resurrections, that his spirit could leave and that God's spirit could come in. He said, I'm so thankful to give him my voice and my vocal cords and anything that I can give him to use. Amen. I'm thankful that we're following a prophet of God like that in this age. A man that God could use so much to where he wouldn't even remember what God had spoke through him. Why? Because it was somebody else doing the talking. Amen. May we yield so much that God could do the talking, that God could do the works, that God could do the walking and the helping and the praying and the whatever it would be that we need to do. May God work through us. You say, oh, that was just for Brother Branham. No, that's for the believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. Mark 16, that was one of the things that the denominational churches fought Brother Branham on the hardest. They said Mark 16 wasn't even inspired, but he believed that the whole thing was inspired. And he believed it was the commission by Jesus to the believer to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And these signs shall follow them that believe. You say, I'm not the pastor, I'm not the prophet. You don't have to be. Do you believe? Amen. Are you a believer tonight? Well, we got about 5 believers. How many believers we have here tonight? Amen. Then these signs shall follow the believer. That doesn't mean everybody's going to raise the dead, but there'll be some signs and wonders following. You know, today, to look around, you look out in the audience and you see young sisters with long hair and dressed like they got some common sense and not out here doing all kinds of crazy things with the world. That's a sign and a wonder in this day. There'll be signs and wonders that'll follow the believer. Maybe you'll never take a pulpit and preach a sermon, but maybe your little sick child, some of you mothers or some of you sisters or whatever it would be, maybe a little sick child at home, and you lay your hand over on it and pray and the fever breaks. What is that? Signs and wonders following the believer. Amen. It wasn't to whoever could do the greatest works and who could go through all the right motions or who could preach the most hours or who could listen to the most tapes or memorize the most scriptures. It was to the believer. Amen. Amen. The question is, do we believe? Amen. It's not how many good works can we do. Do you believe? If reading scriptures, that would make you a Christian, then we'd just sit you and tell you, now look, you just stay here at the church. We're going to leave the doors open. You come in and just read all the scriptures that you want, and that'll get you through. If that would get you through, then Calvary was in vain. If listening to tapes just was all that we needed, just sit in a room and we'll play tapes, then let's get the devil and corner him somewhere and just corner him in a room and play tapes to him 24/7 for about 3 years and we'll get him saved. No, you won't, because there's nothing in him to believe. But when those same scriptures and those same tapes cross the predestinated's path, there's something down on the inside that they don't hear an uncertain sound. They don't hear somebody with a seventh grade education. They don't just hear hunting and fishing stories, but it's God's voice speaking to them that they recognize, hey, that was for me. That wasn't just for somebody back in a prayer line in 1955. That wasn't somebody in Shreveport, just for somebody he was preaching to in Shreveport in 1965, but that was for me. Amen. God sent him for me. Make it personal to you tonight. Amen. Hey, your best friend might fall away. Some of your family members may fall away, but it's not about everybody else. It's a personal walk with Jesus Christ. It's got to come down to you and Jesus. And I want it to be so personal that I recognize if it had just been me, I believe Jesus would have still came. Amen. I believe he loved me that much. If it had just been me, if there was nobody else in Laodicea, I still believe he would have sent a prophet. I take it that personal tonight, Brother Lee, that it's mine. It's not somebody else's that I heard about once upon a time. It wasn't for somebody that was just sitting there in the meetings, but God sent a prophet by our way. He sent a prophet by your way. When he was here in flesh, Jesus went out of his way to go to a little woman at the well that a lot of message people wouldn't have taken time to even cross the street beside. But he went out of his way for a predestinated seed. I don't know what your testimony is tonight, but if you can trace it back far enough, I believe you'll find he went out of his way to find you somewhere too. Amen. Maybe you're like Brother Furman. He had to go way up into the Amish country to find your family. Or maybe you was like some of my family sitting on a bar stool somewhere and God had to come and find you. Maybe you was sitting on a good Methodist pew or a good Baptist pew. And maybe you was sitting like Brother Layton with a woman pastor. I don't know where you came from, but God found you wherever you was at. And he called you and he elected you and he ordained you to live in this hour as an overcomer. And we walk through Laodicea with our heads bowed. Sometimes I feel like traveling on. Looks like you feel like checking yourself into a nursing home somewhere. But we're talking about making it live again tonight. Amen. That God wants to come and anoint his word and make it live again. You know, that ought to make us a happy people. Well, Brother so-and-so don't believe it like I do. Well, sorry for Brother so-and-so. Pray for him. If he's wrong, God will show him. If you're wrong, God will show you. But don't walk through town with your lip on the ground dragging it around like you lost your best friend. God is with us. He's a present help in times of trouble. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. You know, whatever comes or goes, if we recognize that we got Jesus riding in the boat with us, it ought to give us comfort to recognize whatever comes or whatever goes, he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. They would go hear these great men, disciples, anointed men of God. The anointing had come on them and rested on them. They had seen signs and wonders following their ministries. There's many that come to church like that and they feel the anointing fall in a service and they love, Brother Bram just said, just like the tares and the wheat. The tares, when it rains, they just lift up their head and praise the Lord just like the wheat does. But eventually there comes a time when the shuck begins to pull away from the wheat and begin to manifest what it was. I find it interesting that in nature it's always the shuck that pulls away from the wheat. And today we've got people pulling away. We can't fellowship with you. We can't have nothing to do with you because we're the real wheat. We're the real seed. Well, they got their nature contrary to what it is because it's the shuck that always pulls away from the wheat, not the other way around. The wheat will draw the circle bigger and say, I love you anyhow. I'm praying for you anyhow. I'm praying that God will do something for you. But we want to box everybody off and R4 and no more. Oh, God help us. They would feel the anointing. Many times people come and sit in a service and they feel the presence of God fall in a meeting and they begin to worship and they begin to praise and they begin to make commitments to God and then they walk out of here and live a sinner Monday, Tuesday and come back Wednesday and try it all over again and they keep feeling that anointing on their flesh. They feel the presence of God. They enjoy His blessings, but they won't fully yield their lives to Him to where He can come and change them into new creatures. And so the disciples, they had been in an atmosphere where they had seen the dead raised, they had seen the sick healed, they had seen blinded eyes come open, something that hadn't been a man born blind had never been healed in all of the history of the world, the Pharisees said, and yet this young man comes to them and his eyes come open once he got into service where Jesus was at. Let me tell you, you may be spiritually blind, but you ever get in the presence of Jesus and your eyes will come open. And his eyes would begin to open. They would see the lepers cleansed. They would see the prostitutes turn their lives around and become sainted women. They would see the drunkards turn their lives around and the demon possessed that were sitting there naked and cutting themselves at one moment with Jesus. And here they were clothed and in their right mind. See, Jesus, he doesn't come to confuse you. He comes to take away the confusion. He's the dissolver of doubt. You get around some message preachers and you walked away more confused than you was when you ran across them. But God is not a confuser. He's not the author of confusion, but he's the dissolver of doubts. As we was looking at this morning, once you really get in an atmosphere where God is moving and there's a balance on the word, it doesn't confuse you. It balances you out and it brings peace in your life because you know where you're standing. God would come in their age and they would see these things take place. But yet, Brother Branham says in a wedding supper in 1956, he said they went up to the day of Pentecost scared, powerless, helpless. They'd been with Jesus. They'd sat there right at his feet. They'd been called disciples. They'd went out and cast out devils. They'd done works. They'd followed his ministry. They'd been right there with him. And yet he says, go up to Jerusalem and tarry until you're endued with power from on high. So if they were waiting for power to come, then they were powerless. See, they had a blood sacrifice that they were under, the blood of bulls and goats. But I want to read you a couple things here out of the Amplified Version. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4 says, because the blood of bulls and goats is powerless to take sins away. The blood of bulls and goats, God had always had it there as a provision. He had an atonement. He had a plan of redemption in place. But the worshiper, once he'd come into the presence of God there and the lamb be sacrificed, it wasn't able to wipe sins completely away and place them in the sea of forgetfulness. And so he would go out of there knowing, I'm going to have to come back and do this again next year. And I'm going to have to do it again next year. Why? Because the blood of bulls and goats was powerless to bridge the gap between God and man. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, again in the Amplified. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and powerless. If he's not raised, because the blood of bulls and goats won't make it. Your good works won't make it. All of your going through the motions won't make it. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to bridge the gap between God and man. Without that, we're powerless. The blood of bulls and goats was powerless to bring them into a presence of God to where God could come and dwell on the inside of them. So here they go up, yet they have an atonement for them. The high priest sacrificing for them every year, they had an atonement, but the atonement was powerless to completely rid sin. And so here they go up to the upper room, and yet there's been a lamb that was slain just a few days before. Maybe the blood's still wet on the cross there, and now they're going into an upper room with a promise. I'm going to come and I'm going to give you power. I'm going to endue you with power. But they go upstairs with a powerless religion. Climbing up the stairs, scared, afraid, powerless. The Romans are coming. Lock the doors, lock the windows. Don't go out and witness to anybody. You might get crucified. You might get deceived. Somebody might hurt you. Somebody might do you wrong. Let's all just stay in here and shut the doors and hide out and have service. Well, praise the Lord. Sound like a lot of message churches, don't it? Powerless. Afraid. Oh, I couldn't hear a preacher. I might get deceived. Well, Brother Branham said the elect cannot be deceived. Amen. I don't say it arrogantly or cocky. I say it because I have confidence in the Word of God. No man can deceive me because I'm part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Doesn't mean you might not get confused for a while, but the bride will never be deceived. I have that peace this evening that I won't be deceived. I'm not afraid of being deceived because I believe that I'm elected. Amen. Somebody's awful scared of being deceived. You have to wonder, well, you must be worried a little bit about your election then, because the elect cannot be deceived. Amen. God's provided place of worship, 1965, and that's what's the matter with the church today. He said we're full of theology without any dynamics in it. That's right, see? In other words, you've got to have the spark to the gasoline, or the gasoline is no more than, it's not even as good as water as long as it hasn't got the spark to fire it. And here on the day of Pentecost, they had an automobile sitting there. They had the word for their day. They'd been with Jesus. They were sitting there. The gasoline tank was full, but no spark to fire it. They had to get out there and try to turn the engine. Days of miracles are past. That was for some other day. That was just for Jesus. You boys will never do anything like that. That he's ascended now, and you know, you're just helpless without him. You're powerless. You're here. You're afraid. The doors are locked, and they try to turn her over. No better than water in the engine with no spark to fire it. But then all of a sudden, power would come from on high like a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire would sit upon them, and all of a sudden ignition began to come to the thing, and it was no longer just the mechanics, but now the dynamics would hit the church, and they would go out of windows and doors, and they would begin to testify of what God had done for them, and 3,000 would be converted in a day, and they'd say, how hear we ever man in our own language, God doing something supernatural, because it was no more just dead letter, and well, K. Ephesus read this last Sunday in church, or Saturday, I guess it was, on the Sabbath, and we've got the word, and we've got this, and we've got that, but without power to ignite the word, they sat there powerless and afraid. And then came a presence from on high, and it changed the whole situation. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 begins to tell us about some of the things in the last day, and he says there'll be some people that would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Brother Bam says the true vine and the false vine, 1955. He says, there you are, fundamental in doctrine, but powerless in power. Amen. What a sad condition to be in. Fundamental in doctrine, but powerless in power. This is how Brother Branham distinguished between Moses and Balaam. There sat Balaam. He was a vindicated prophet. His prophecies are still coming to pass. He said, whoever blesses Israel, I'll bless, and whoever curses Israel, I'll curse. We still see his prophecies coming to pass. He was fundamental. He sacrificed the same way that they did, had the same altars, the same rams, the same sheep, all that. But Brother Branham said, but there was a pillar of fire with Moses and his group, and there were signs and wonders following. It was more than just fundamentalism. It was more than just, bless God, we're right, we've got our doctrine figured out. If you're not careful, that'll lead you into a powerless religion, just an intellectual conception that, well, I can argue and debate it and fuss it better than anybody else. Well, so can the devil. Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, he's the greatest sophist, but it's more than fundamentalism that we're looking for. It's power. Pardon, 1963, says the Bible predicts that the hour would come when the church would get in the same tradition they was there by their rituals. Here it is again. A traditional religion, powerless. Oh, they said them were communists. No, they wasn't. Having a form of godliness. They go to church. They join church. They try to make a long showing that they are going to church and things and go out and live different. There's no fire in their soul. There's no nothing. He says they're not interested in anybody else. Uh-oh. Everybody else can die and go if they want to. We feel we're saved. Let the rest of them go. He said, that isn't real Christianity. Amen. That isn't real Christianity. Brother Branham, what would you have? He said, if somebody would ask him, Brother Branham, what would you have If you could pick for your church, would you have a church that had all nine spiritual gifts? Would you have a church that, my, they could perform signs and wonders? What would you have, Brother Branham? He said, give me a church that's so burdened for lost souls that they couldn't rest day and night. When the fire came, they unlocked the doors and opened up the windows and went outside. But many of us, what do? We pull the doors back down, bar the windows again. Oh my, we couldn't fellowship with anybody out there outside of our little doctrine, whatever we believe, outside of our little group. We'd be deceived or we'd be confused or we don't want their worldly cooties or their preacher cooties or their this cooties or that cooties, or we don't belong to this group or that group, and we don't fellowship with this one or that one. We wouldn't go to this camp or this group or hear this one or that one. Why? They're not interested in anybody else. Everybody else can die and go if they want, he says. We feel that we're saved. Let the rest of them go. That isn't real Christianity. Can you imagine if that had been Jesus' attitude? If nobody's like me, then they're just out. All of us would have been out. None of us could live it like he could live it. None of us could have the perfect revelation of it like he did. But yet he would come, and Brother Bam said there in images of Christ in the 50s, he said, and he'd get down in the dust with them, with the prostitute, with the drunkard, with the tax collector. And he'd get down into a spot where he could be touched by the feeling of their infirmities. And what did it do? It changed lives. It quickened people. That's real Christianity. Somebody that's concerned about somebody else. Somebody that's, their vision is bigger than our four and no more. Their vision is bigger than the four walls of Church of the Open Door or whatever church or whatever group or whatever pastor it would be. They're interested in lost souls. They're interested in the kingdom of God. They're interested in helping somebody. As I said this morning, Brother Branham reading a quote recently, he said, the angel of the Lord never stopped him in a prayer line and said, ask them if they're Methodist or Baptist or whatever they, you never hear that on a tape. He never stops the prayer line and says, oh, wait a minute, you're Methodist? I'm sorry.
Amen.
Oh, you're Trinitarian? I'm sorry, I can't pray for you. He never did it. Jesus never stopped the multitude and said, wait a minute, how many Sadducees are in the group? All of you get out. You're not welcome here. I can't help you. You don't even believe in my resurrection. You don't believe in angels. Get out. He didn't do it. But we want to divide and separate and subculture and narrow it down, try to figure out who's elect. I'm thankful God didn't show me who was elect and who wasn't, because he knew me well enough to know I would treat them different, Brother Darrell, if I knew. So what does he do? He leaves us in a condition where we don't know if somebody's elect or not. So what have we got to do? Treat them all the same. Oh, I know respect of persons, even though it's not scriptural, it creeps right in around the message. We want to raise somebody up higher than somebody else. Well, he's the pastor, so him and his children will treat them different than somebody else. You realize what spirit that is? It was the devil that wanted to raise himself up higher than all the rest of the angels, and everybody look at him, and I'm somebody, and I get to be treated differently. But the Bible said God is not a respecter of persons, and that we don't worship God with respecter of persons. So what do? Well, but Brother Nathan, I have such respect for this brother. What can I do? I don't want to bring him down. Don't bring anybody down. Bring the rest of them up to respect them like you do that brother. I'm not trying to tell you to respect somebody less. I'm telling you to respect the rest of the people a little bit more. God came to save them just the same as whoever your favorite preacher or personality in the message or whatever it be. God came to save the worst sinner in the city if they'll receive it. Amen. God, give us a heart of Christianity to be concerned about somebody else. He said, Christianity is go after the lost. Go get that brother. Go do something about it. Can we stand and fold our hands even if we claim that we're saved and see men and women dying on every hand? But what's the attitude of the people today? Well, they went out from us because they weren't one of us. So just let them on go. They didn't agree with us anyhow, so they'd be better off somewhere else. I'm thankful Jesus didn't treat me like that. Amen. I'm thankful God didn't send a prophet and just treat us all like that. Well, I went and I preached once at this church over here, and I went down once to Kentucky and preached down there, and they didn't accept it, so I'm just never going back. But he kept going back for predestinated seed. Amen. Maybe they didn't see it right away, but he kept going back and he kept going back. I showed you the video and the pictures and things of Shreveport from when we was there last week, and Life Tabernacle and the Municipal Auditorium and the different places that he was at there. And he kept going back year after year after year. Chicago and Shreveport, more than anywhere else that he would go except Jeffersonville. And as far as I know from brothers and sisters that were there at that time, there was only one family that came out of Jack Moore's church into what we would call the Message. And he keeps going back year after year after year. Why? Because he was concerned about people. Right. He was concerned, is there somebody I can help? Right. Sometimes I get tired, Brother David. Sometimes I get tired and I begin to feel a little sorry for myself. Oh, I've been busy. I preached hard. I prayed for the sick in this prayer line. I'm tired and things like that. And I begin to feel a little sorry for myself. And then I think about a prophet of God that would stand there in Jonesboro, Arkansas, day after day under more anointing than any preacher alive today can imagine. And he said one vision. He said an hour of preaching was like 8 hours with a sledgehammer. So you all can feel sorry for me after today preaching twice. But he said one of those visions would do more than to stand in the pulpit and preach all day. Some nights 30 and 40 visions a night standing there to where they'd have to pack him out and try to get him back to himself. And suddenly I don't feel so tired anymore. Why would he do it? Why would he push himself so hard? Why would he spend so many hours away from his family when he could have been there at home with them? Why would he spend so many hours when he could be sitting on a riverbank with a fishing pole fighting with doctrines and demons and prayer lines and things? Why? Because he had a love for the people. He was concerned about somebody. And God had commissioned him not just to take care of himself, but to go and to help somebody. God will always, if God really gives you a commission, it won't just be for you and your four and no more. It'll be to go and help somebody. All Things, 1962, he said, God hates powerless religion. It's got to have power in it. It's got to have sincerity. Sincerity brings power. Sincerity brings real worship, not forms, but genuine power. Worship to know that you've passed from death unto life. God wants to perform his word by power. And when the church denies his power, how can he perform and vindicate his word? When the church explains it away and says it's for some other day and something, how can God, who wants to fulfill his word and perform his word among the people, and the people deny that he does it, yet they go through all the rituals, see? Here's what happened. God wants to perform by the Holy Ghost and vindicate his word, and the church wants to perform. Oh, that's where the problem becomes. God longing to come and by the Holy Spirit perform and anoint and work. And we try to tell people that was for some other day. Just sit on your hands and wait. And we try to put our own ideas and our own ways and our own works and all this and tell everybody, well, Brother Jonathan, you run your house this way. And Brother Castell, you do this and you do that. And we try to put everybody under our own man-made legalism and our own yokes. And what is it? The Holy Ghost's desire is to perform, but the church rises up and we want to perform. We want to do something about it. We want to do it our way. And what do? We paralyze the body of Jesus Christ if we're not careful. Brother Branham said little David Walker there. He said if there was ever a young preacher, a boy preacher, he said it was that one. He said, I'd seen other little boy preachers get up and say, Jesus died on the cross. What was the rest of that, mommy? But he said, not that little boy. He took off his coat and took a text. And he said if the denominations had got behind that little boy, he would have led millions of little children to Christ. But he said because it didn't come through their organization, every one of them had to have a little David because of jealousy and pride. Oh, we couldn't sponsor that. They're a little different than we are. They see it a little different. They believe, they lean a little bit this direction on this quote, or they fellowship with this brother over here, so we couldn't get behind that. And the Holy Spirit sending a gift into the body of Jesus Christ and wanting to perform, and the church saying, we can't receive it that way, so we'll go and perform our own way. He said they have to deny the Holy Ghost. They want to perform to make a big organization and what else, to bring membership. No matter what you have, to baptize sinners, drunkards, bootleggers, anything else, and take them into the body of the church. Amen. He said this gospel, this old time religion, it doesn't whitewash you, but it washes you white. Amen. I'm not interested in just getting some pretty little Pharisees and putting them on the pews and just getting them to the right message traditions and the right message way of living and the right message dress code and all that, and sitting them there, painting them up on the outside and getting them to look just right, and down on the inside it just being dark and angry and bitter and malice and pride and all these things. And oh no, let's get them to Jesus and let the Holy Ghost come and give them power from on high, and then it'll begin to change the way that they talk. It'll begin to change the way that they act and the way that they look and the way that they dress. We get the cart before the horse many times. Well, sister, if you just do this, then you'd be all right. And if you just stop doing this over here, then you'd be okay. And if you could just follow the pastor's set of rules or the deacon's set of rules or the most spiritual sister in the church, her set of rules, whatever she said on Facebook or Twitter, whatever she thinks the standard should be, then you'll be all right. No, if you get to Calvary, you'll be all right. If you get a new birth, you'll be all right. Not to come through somebody's way of doing it or somebody's idea, that's powerless. But I want to be endued with power from on high. Power that'll send us out with authority to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Brother Bam said he didn't say teach the world. Word, he said preach the gospel. He said that means to manifest it, to demonstrate it, to make it live again. I appreciate a God of Moses' day. But I'm not interested in just what happened back in Moses' day. I appreciate a God of Paul's day. I thank God for testimonies and word and witnesses and things that we have for Paul's day. But I'm not just interested in the God of Paul's day. I don't want to offend you or scare you. But you know what? We hear testimonies and eyewitnesses and things of 1965 and 1959 and all the way back through the ministry. I thank God for those things. It builds our faith. I believe it. I receive it for the word for our day. But I'm not just interested in a God of 1965. As we said this morning, Elisha came down to the waters and he didn't say, Lord, where's Elijah? What'd you do with Elijah? He smote the waters and he said, where is the God of Elijah? Amen. Amen. That's what I need tonight. You say, oh, you aren't looking for Brother Branham to come back. I know he's coming back. Amen. Amen. I know one day I'm going to see him in a resurrection. Amen. I know one day I'm going to shake his hand and my grandma's hands and different ones that have gone on before. I want to shake Paul's hand, but I'm not concerned right this moment while we're here and while we tarry and wait for the resurrection. I'm not looking for, well, Lord, where's this and where's that? What about this brother and what about this one? I'm interested in where is the God of Elijah. That's what I need for my family. That's what I need for my own life. That's what I need. If I need healing, I need the God of Elijah. Amen. If your children need saving, you need the God of Elijah. Amen. You need the Holy Ghost? You better start looking to the God of Elijah. But we look to the pastor and we look to this one, our favorite personality in the message. What should I do, brother? How should I go about it? How did you receive it? And we try to imitate somebody else's, the way they got in. Well, I went down and I knelt beside a log and I folded my hands like this. And hey, God didn't ask me to try to impersonate anybody's experience. I appreciate experiences. I think every one of us should have a real experience with God. But you don't have to copy my experience. One of the greatest experiences supernaturally that I had, I was a backslidden young man running from God. But one day he got a hold of my life and he began to try to turn it around. And I wasn't running so much that I didn't love God. I was running that I knew I had a gift in my life and I knew that gift wasn't popular. And so I was running because I found that the further I ran, the quieter that gift got. And you know, but then I got to a turning point where God would keep doing things and keep letting me know, hey, you can run, but you can't hide. Maybe we've got some Jonas here tonight, and you can run from God all you want, but if you're his, you're coming. Amen. Amen. You get a choice. You have free moral agency. You can choose, but it's not whether you're elect or not. It's whether you come the easy way or the hard way. Amen. We could just stop the service right here and let people get up and give testimonies and say, don't come the hard way. Don't come the way that I did. Don't run from him any farther tonight. Oh, if you're running, why don't you come to him tonight and stop running? I found, Brother Darrell, I could run, but I couldn't hide. I found I could fill up trash cans with beer bottles, but I couldn't hide. One night in an apartment, laying there with some young people, a couple other young men that had been raised in the message, they knew what I believed, and in their own way, I guess they believed it too, intellectually at least. And we were laying there and getting ready to go to bed, and one of the young men that owned the apartment turned to me and said, you mind if I turn on a tape? I thought, goodness gracious, turn on a tape? These things do not mix. It's like oil and water, or, you know, plumbing and electricity. There's just some things you don't mix. He said, well, I grew up going to bed listening to a tape, and it's hard for me to go to sleep without the comfort of just listening to that voice. See, it got to a point where it didn't condemn him anymore, but I knew it was going to condemn me. He said, I've only got two CDs here at the house. I got Life Story, and I played that last night. I said, well, what else you got? Man Running from the Presence of the Lord. I found out real quick that out of 1,200 tapes, I could run, but I couldn't hide. He would begin to play that, and it would be as if a voice would speak and say, Adam, where art thou? I wasn't a perfect boy the next day, but I began to change directions. And some young men had called, wanted me to go watch a movie with them, and I was working second shift at a little store or a little company down here on the corner of Pearl Street in New Albany, and I was the only one there. Everybody had left for the day, and I'd promised God, I'm going to go home after work today, and I'm going to spend some time in prayer. And I told him, I said, no, I'm not going to go with you. I promised God I'd do something today. And the phone rang a few minutes later, and it was a relative, and they wanted me to go. And I said, no, I promised God I'd do something today. And so, you promise God to do something. Sometimes it's hard to keep your word, but if you promise him to do something, stick with it, and he'll bless you. I would walk down the stairs to my parents' basement that night, and I would kneel beside a little twin bed, and I would begin to pray and feel a presence of God come in the room. And when I would look up, you don't have to believe me, but this is my testimony. I was the only one that was there, but I looked, Brother Darrell, and I couldn't see the other end of the basement because it was just smoke everywhere I could see down there. And I began to recognize what it must have been like when they dedicated the temple, and they said the minister couldn't even preach because the presence of God had so filled the temple. I recognize he cares for me, Brother Hoover. He cares for me. I want to say tonight, maybe your friends have told you God doesn't care. Maybe your friends at school have tried to put peer pressure on you and tell you, you'll never be able to leave that life. You'll never be able to live that life. You'll never be, oh, why don't you go ahead and cut your hair? Why don't you put you on some shorts? Your parents won't know about it. Why don't you smoke you a cigarette or vape you a little bit of something that's going to put toxin in your lungs and take your life if you're not careful? Why don't you do a little bit of this? Why don't you do a little bit of that? But I want to tell you tonight, God cares about you. He loves you. He came and died for you. He sent you a prophet. He sent you ministers that would stand in the pulpit and maybe the devil beating them over the head saying, you're not getting through to anybody. You're not having an impact on anybody. But he keeps sending and he keeps sending. Why? Because he cares about you. He cares about you. I found, Brother Hoover, that he cared. He didn't have to do something supernatural for me. That don't make me nobody except to say, I know he cares about me. He cares about you tonight. The devil tries to run us wild. I was preaching there in Texas last weekend. The devil just trying to fight every way he could. Microphone's not working and my voice about shot. And the Lord just kept bringing me back over and over to this thought about when we were at BYC there and those two sisters got delivered of a suicide spirit. And I began to tell them about how when they got delivered and those demonic manifestations crying out and screaming and talking out of them, when they got delivered, there was two young girls that came outside and sat on a park bench there with one of their counselors. And they said, hey, we got to go do something. We promised God in the service we'd do something tonight. And they came back from their dorm with razor blades in their hands and said, we don't want to throw it in the wastebasket in our dorm. We want to throw these away in the dumpster. You say, not my child. God would never allow my child to fight suicide. Hey, the devil will fight any way he can. The devil don't care how he gets you. He just wants to get you. But he's a liar. He'll try to convince you. You'll never make it through this trial. You might as well just give up. If you confess that you did, you made a mistake, you confess that, and your family will never have confidence in you again. They'll never have anything to do with you again. Why don't you just go ahead and end your life and get it over with? Oh, that's the devil talking. That's the devil talking. You see, he puts pressures on us, and he puts sickness on us, and he puts trials on us, and he makes it look impossible for us to get through them or around them. But Brother Branham said, and I know there in 1960, he said, that's the greatest experience that I've had with God, to see a battle or a trial that I come up with no way around it, no way over it, no way under it, and God just open up a path and take me right through the middle of it. The problem is we lose faith in God. We don't think he's bigger than our trial. Let me remind you tonight, he is bigger than your trial. He is more powerful than your trial. He can take you through. We look with so much with a microscope and get down and, oh, this is where we're at and this is our battle and this is our struggle and we just don't know what the answer is. Stop looking at the moment and look back down through life's pathway a little while. And think of all the things that he brought you through. All the trials that he brought you through victorious that you thought you'd never make it. All the sicknesses that he healed you from that the doctor said you'd never make it. All the friendships and family struggles and things that you thought, oh, this will never get better. And he brought you right through.
Amen.
He's still powerful. He's still powerful tonight. He can still bring you through whatever you're facing. The problem is many times we get so educated and traditionalized and indoctrinated, and all we can think is, well, you know, should I do it this way and two steps forward and three steps over here, and we're trying to do all the right works and do all the right motions, and if we're not careful, we come up powerless instead of just depending on him.
Amen.
Church age book, Brother Branham says, now remember this. Christ in the true church is the continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a mental image that I want of a powerless church. But then he begins to go on. He begins to talk about this church and how that if she ever got the revelation of the two spirits working within the framework, and he begins to talk about this, and he begins to talk about how Satan's afraid of that. And he says, he knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and that what she is and what she stands for and that she can do the greater works.
Right.
She can do the greater works.
Amen.
She will be an invincible army.
Amen.
If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. His goal, Satan's goal, is to get you into a condition where you're powerless, because he knows that if you get a revelation of who you are, that he'll be the one that's powerless.
Right.
Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every efforts to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail against them.
Amen.
Amen. What are you looking at tonight, Brother Nathan? I'm looking at a group of overcomers. In the darkest age that has ever been, God still has overcomers. And Satan wants to hold you back and keep you powerless in doctrines and traditions of man to try to rob you from recognizing who you are. But there's a bride of Jesus Christ that's going to rise right up out of the midst of it and have a revelation of who she is and who her Father is. Amen. I hope we're part of it tonight, don't you? Amen. Recognize. Get a revelation tonight that you don't have to live the way that Satan's trying to convince you to live. You don't have to live defeated. You don't have to live powerless. You don't have to accept your sickness and say, well, it's just genetic. I guess this is just the way that it'll be. No, we serve a God that's still writing a book of Acts behind his church in this age. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 says that the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Matthew chapter 13 verse 58 says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus would go into his own hometown and he said, you know, a prophet's not accepted in his own home country there. He's without honor. And he would come away and they would say, isn't this the carpenter's son? Don't we have his sisters and his brothers here with us? And he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. It wasn't that he was any weaker in that city of Galilee than he was anywhere else. But you see, God always works on both ends of the line. And God is just as powerful tonight as he was when he shed his blood on the cross. He's just as powerful tonight as when he got off the beach there in Gennesaret and he walked down and a man with demons came upon him and said, our name's Legion because we're many. And he began to speak to those demons in his life, and there he sat, clothed and in his right mind. You know, there's something about it. The Holy Spirit will make you put on clothes, not take off clothes. But there had to be a receiver. See, God was coming with a message, And there would be some that would accept it as a message of deliverance. To others, it would be a message of judgment, depending on how they received it. And so here he is, just as anointed as in any other city, just as anointed as he was in Cana of Galilee when he laid his hand on the bier of the casket there, and a little dead boy set up, just as powerful as he was in Jairus' daughter's bedroom when he laid his hand on her and said, "Maid, arise." And a little girl set up and he said, "Give her some food to eat." Just as powerful as he was when he walked to the grave there and said, "Roll back the stone." And a man that if anybody had a chance to say that God was too late, it was Lazarus. He didn't show up at his sick bed. He didn't show up at his funeral. Didn't show up at the graveside until 4 days late. And there he was, his nose beginning to cave in. They said, "Please don't roll back the stone, Lord. By now he stinketh." And he called his name and he came forth. Just as powerful. But he goes into this city and he couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So Brother Bam says, "In Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever," 1953, then Jesus in his church today would be just as powerless as your faith is and just as powerful as your faith is. All right. Amen. Brother Nathan, I don't understand. I was prayed for and I'm believing on God to do something for me. I came up and I knelt at an altar. I prayed for my backslidden children. I don't see, is he not the same today? He's the same. Amen. But he's just as powerful as your faith is, or he's just as powerless as your faith is. Remember when he stood there beside the lame man, he didn't say, "I'm going to heal you." He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" All right. He's waiting on us many times. Amen. He's waiting on us. Waiting to see what your response will be to the word. Waiting what your response will be when a prophet of God comes on magnetic tape, or I guess it's a chip now in our phones or whatever, but when he would come on and speak to somebody and say, "Oh, you had more faith than you thought you did, didn't you, back there, little lady?" And God's waiting to see, how will you react to that? Will you say, "Oh my, isn't that nice for sister so-and-so back there in 1957? Or will you say, "Lord, let that be my testimony. Let that be me. Let that be said of me that I had more faith than I thought I had. That I had more victory than I thought I had. That there was deliverance for my family. Lord, don't just let it be for somebody back there, but let me make it personal for me. That when I read the scriptures, it's not just for something once upon a time, that I don't leave him back there in history, but I make it live again in my own life. Amen. That I see the living reality of a God that still loves and cares for his people." Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. What more could he do? Death, hell, and the grave couldn't hold him. He's rose again. And he comes and meets them. And they worshiped him, but some still doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So I want to say tonight, in the face of the devil, in the face of every Trinitarian doctrine that would try to attack and creep in the message, if he wasn't God, then we're serving a powerless God. Because Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." Amen. You want power tonight? It's in the name of Jesus. You need healing tonight? It's in the name of Jesus. You need victory tonight? It's not in the name of Nathan Bryan or any other man. It's in Jesus is where the power lays. Amen. The problem is we get so focused on the pastor, or we get so focused on this, or so focused on our favorite doctrine, or our favorite this, or our favorite that, or our favorite hobby, or our favorite this, or whatever it would be. And we get the focus off of Jesus Christ. But he said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." Brother Bam said the gospel is the greatest calling card that's ever been sent to the earth. Just the simple gospel. Right. Something about it that it catches the attention of the people. You got people around the message today, they're trying to come up with some super duper new something to bring to the people to keep their attention. You want to keep people's attention? Give them the simple gospel. Amen. It's the greatest attention getter. It's the greatest life changer that's ever been. Amen. Amen. God, give us the simple gospel. Amen. I want to make it live again in my life. What's it going to take, Brother Nathan? It's going to take the same thing that it was for them back there. Here, they had gone through all the motions. They had attended all the services. They'd been right there with Jesus and seen all the miracles. They'd gone out and prayed for people. They'd been part of the services. They'd seen the multitudes fed. In fact, they were some of the ones that was handing out the multiplied bread and fish. But Jesus would stand there and said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. Amen. Some of you sitting here tonight, Satan has tried your whole life to sift you as wheat. He's tried to get you to give up. He's tried to get you to get discouraged and to go back to the world or just give up and say, I can't do it anymore. I can't take it anymore. It's too much pressure. It's too much this. There's too much fighting and fussing. If this was really the work of God, why would it be? Because Satan always puts the best scarecrows out where the best food is.
Right.
Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but he said, I've prayed for you. And when you're converted, don't hide out in your basement from everybody else. Don't pull back from everybody else in the message because you're afraid you're going to get deceived. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. When you're converted, encourage somebody else. When you're encouraged, have a handout to somebody, even if they don't believe exactly like you. Be ready to help somebody. Can you imagine if Jesus had walked into Samaria there and sat down at the side of the well like a lot of us message folks would have, and here comes this woman of ill fame, different culture, different race than him, different religion. Here she is trying to worship God at a well that Jacob dug in a mountain. He said, you worship God in this mountain. We worship him down here in the temple. But he said, there's a day that's coming when it's not going to be about geographic location. It's not going to be about R4 and no more and Church of the Open Door here and this church over there and this one over there. And well, some brother's rising up now saying, you got to come to Africa and get the Holy Ghost through me. Hogwash. The Holy Spirit is not confined to an address or a country or one ministry. The Holy Ghost, he'll quicken whoever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. We try to put God in a box and say, oh my, here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're allowed to do, Jesus. We'll let you out if you'll do it our way. No, he'll pass right over you and go to somebody else. He's still as powerful as he ever was. Satan's desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. When you're converted, it puts you into action. It makes you concerned about somebody else. That's Christianity. Can you imagine if Jesus had sat there, well, you're a different race than I am. You're a woman of ill fame. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. We don't even have the same absolute. Here you are worshiping in the wrong spot. He said, there's a day coming when it's not going to be about the spot or the country or the city or the pastor or the deacon or whoever. There's going to be a day when God's people will worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
We have truth. We have more truth than any other age. But I feel like the bride of Jesus Christ begins to get a little afraid of the Spirit. Oh my, I don't know about this and I don't know about that. We don't want to get out of order. Brother Bram said, I hope you get out of order long enough to get saved.
Amen.
Said, oh, we're afraid of a little wildfire. He said, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Nathan, don't you think Brother so-and-so was just in the flesh when he did this or that? Hey, every one of us, as far as I can tell, is still in the flesh. But I believe the Holy Spirit can still come and anoint this flesh.
Amen.
We get so afraid. Oh, if we're not careful, we'll get too emotional. Brother Bram said, if your religion isn't emotional, it's dead. Instead, I recognize there's some people that base their religion on emotion. And if the music's not playing and if they're not running the aisles or they're not doing this, then it just wasn't church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about taking you back to the Pentecostal denomination. I'm talking about going back to that Pentecostal experience where they were endued with power from on high. Hey, we believe in tongues and we believe in prophecy and we believe in all those things, but that's not all that the day of Pentecost was about. It was about giving them power for the urgency and the need of the hour, enduing them with power that when they would come across a crippled man at the gate called Beautiful a few days before, all they could have did was tried to empty their pockets and say, well, sorry, we don't have anything to give, but next offering we get, we'll come back by. But they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have. We do have something we'll share with you. We was just endued with some power from on high a few days ago. And you know, the devil, he doesn't really believe us yet. It's just been a testimony so far. But we're going to prove to him that it's more than a testimony. It's a life with signs and wonders following behind it. It's a life of power. It's a life of victory. It's a life of the overcomer, that you don't have to stay beat down by addictions and temptations and depressions and anxieties. But you can rise up in the face of everything that Satan would throw in your path and say, there's going to be overcomers in this age. And I'm one of them. Power from on high. Not mind over matter, not work up the music to get us emotional. But hey, if this doesn't make you emotional, then check your pulse, because your religion's dead. We can get excited when our favorite player makes the net go whew. We can get excited when our favorite punter kicks that ball right through and they stand up and applaud. We can get excited when our favorite politician wins an election. We can get excited when we get our bonus on Thanksgiving or New Year's or whatever it is. And we, you know, people that don't believe in dancing in church, but they go out to the mailbox and they open it up and look in there, and there's that bonus check, and they dance all the way back to the, all the way to the bank. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what? I believe in financial blessings, but he's given us a lot more than just financial blessings. Amen. I believe in prosperity, but I'm not here just to preach you a prosperity gospel. He said, I would that you prosper in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. So you want to talk about prosperity tonight? Let's talk about prosperity. Amen. He wants to see your soul healthy, and he wants to see your body healthy, and he wants to see your children saved. He wants to prosper you tonight, but we get in the spirit of everything else, and then we come to church and, well, goodness gracious, 7:57, Brother Nathan's still not winding down.
Bless him all.
He ever, you know, I don't know who's even playing right now. I guess it's football season, and you ever, you know, your favorite team gets down, and they're playing, you know, their arch enemy, and he gets down, and my, just a few minutes left on the clock, and then just a few seconds left, and your team's down, and here they come, and they're running down the field, and 90 yards to go, and 80 yards to go, and 70 yards to go, and here they're coming there. The defenders are stiff-arming this one and stiff-arming that one, and the man running with the ball's jumping over this one and jumping over that one. He gets down to the end zone, and they tie the game, and everybody says, oh, if we would have just lost, we could have got to bed early tonight. Because, honey, you know I got work in the morning. And, honey, you know the kids have school in the morning. And you're kicking over couches and throwing popcorn and things like that. But we get the devil about down and out for the count. And we're at the 90-yard line and the 80-yard line and the 70-yard line. And, you know, the children are beginning to get a revelation. And somebody's sitting there thinking, my, I could go to the altar right now, even though he's preaching. And somebody said, well, how long is he going to go tonight? Let's keep going until we get the victory. Contending for the faith, 1956. Now what good would it do to serve a God that served Moses? A God that Moses served, and if he wasn't the same God today? What good would it do to serve a historical God if he's powerless and gone and dead today? I want to ask you that question. He said you wouldn't want to do it, neither would I. If I can't serve a God that's a living and right here, present to help me when I have need, then what's the use of serving God? If he was a God, but he isn't a God now, or if he was a God of power, he's lost his power now, there's something weakening about that God. Isn't that right? But I want to remind the devil tonight, he's not any weaker. He's not powerless. He's still got all the power in heavens and in earth. And he came back on the day of Pentecost to endue a group of people with power from on high. Maybe the devil's tried to convince you, you're nothing. You'll never make it. You ain't got no victory. You ain't got no power. And we can be honest with him and say, hey, that's right. The flesh of Nathan Bryant, he's absolutely right. I'm worthless. I'm no account. I'm powerless. I'm weak. I don't have anything to brag about on my own, but there's something that's down on the inside of Nathan Bryant. Let's talk about that for a little while. Oh, Brother Nathan's bragging on himself again. No, you read your name, man. I just don't have time to call everybody else's name. Something down on the inside of us. Brother Ram said it's worth 10 million worlds, that one soul. Just the soul is worth 10 million worlds. And then you take that and fill it with deity. priceless. Priceless. And then we look over at one another. Well, sister so-and-so, I didn't like the style of shoes she wore tonight. And I didn't like the way brother so-and-so, you know, when he shook my hand, his smile that he gave me, it felt like it was kind of a fake smile. And we began to let the devil box us in a corner. And well, this one looked at me funny, and that one spoke to me funny. And this one, you know, they put a bad, you know, they put a picture of me when I was blinking for my image on their contacts list, and they must not like me. And this one did this, and this one did that. And then before we know it, we're sitting in a corner sucking our thumb. Nobody loves us. Nobody wants to fellowship with us. Well, maybe it's because everybody that tries to, you come up with some excuse to try to make it look like they have something against you. Maybe they get tired of trying to be your friend, and every time they do, now, wait a minute, what did you mean by that? And why would you say that? And why would you do this? And why? Well, praise the Lord. Feels like Wednesday night, but it's just Sunday night, isn't it? But something about it, when power from on high comes, it lifts you up above all that. You ever been in an airplane, you're trying to take off, and they begin to crank those engines, and it's got power, but it begins to shake the wings of the plane, and they begin to release those brakes, and she begins to take off, and you're moving, but all of a sudden you try to lift up into the heavenlies, and you try to get through those clouds, and there's turbulence and bumps, and it's dropping. And that's how a lot of us are when we first come to Christ. We get a little bit of speed, and then we drop back down a little bit, and we make a mistake here, and we do this and do that, and it's a little bit of turbulence, and we're a little unsure of ourselves, and somebody did something and it rocked the boat for us, and somebody said something and it hurt us over here. But then all of a sudden something about it, you get enough pressure under those wings and enough thrust in those engines, and all of a sudden you just come right up over top of those clouds, right. And you begin to look down, it's just peaceful and smooth sailing. What was it? You had enough power to get you up through all the troubles and trials and turbulence. Amen. God gave us power. He gave us dunamis, power from on high. That's the Greek word dunamis. It's the root for dynamite. That he gave us power from on high to lift us above the pressures. Oh, I couldn't get up there, Brother Nathan. You got to have all kinds of pressures and things like that. But he pressurizes you for where he's going to have you at. He pressurizes you for the troubles in your life and the trials in your life. And you get up there and you begin to look down. All you see is just the heavenlies up there. And you look down, all it is just clouds below you. Looks like angels' wings beating together down there. And you can't see your house no more. So you're not worried about the mortgage, and you can't see your office no more, so you're not worried about your boss and all the things that he said. And here you are just flying out, soaring above. Peace, joy, comfort. You feel weightless up there. That's how God wants us to live. Amen. He doesn't want you down there in the turbulence all the time. Oh, Lord, I just don't think I can make it. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can be a Christian. I don't think I can be an overcomer. Break through the turbulence one time and let that power lift you on up. I say, oh, Lord, all that anxiety and grief and depression and discouragement and backbiting and bitterness and pride and all those things, I feel like it all just rolled right off of me. What's it going to take, Brother Nathan? Making it live again in your life. Yeah, the Word coming, the Holy Spirit coming, and beginning to break those chains away from you until you can walk like a Christian, talk like a Christian, not just going through the works and going through the motions, but a life of power on the inside of you. You can walk in victory. You can walk in peace. The devil, he'll come and try to sap your victory. Brother Bram says God just flicks him away like that. They said it was the finger of God that drove away the devils. But Brother Bram said, but when he came and went for that lost lamb, he picked him up and put him on his shoulders, the strongest part of the man, and carried him. He cares about you tonight. Young people, he cares about you tonight. He cares about the trials that you're facing and the things you're going through. Middle-aged, old people, whatever you are, he cares about you tonight. He loves you tonight. He's wanting to make his word alive in you. Not just something we can argue about. Not just something we can fuss about and say, well, thank God I'm a better Christian than Sister So-and-so across the aisle here. Well, praise the Lord. Pray for her. Pray for her that she'll be able to raise up to your high standards one day. You know what? We all needed the blood of Jesus Christ. We all needed his blood. I'm thankful for it tonight. Thankful for power.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, through many dangers, toils, and snares, Lord, we've already come. It wasn't by power, not by might, but by your Spirit. It's brought us safe this far. It'll be your grace, Lord, that brought us this far that'll take us home. Lord, it's not our own strength. We can't fight our own battles. We don't have our own power to overcome. But Lord, we need the quickening power of the Holy Spirit to come and help us. Lord, we need victory. We need peace. Lord, the enemy comes and he tries to batter against us. And Lord, the storms come and pressures rise and Satan tries to attack on every hand. But Lord, you've got a little bride that you've brought through every storm and trial. And she's weathered the storms. She's weathered the dark ages. She's weathered the pressures of life. Lord, you've brought her safe this far. You won't lose a one that's yours. Lord, encourage hearts tonight. Lord, if there's some that are sitting here tonight and they feel powerless against the things they're facing, maybe circumstances at their school that they don't know how to address, or maybe circumstances on their job that they don't know how to change, maybe things in their family life or things in friendships, Lord, that they've done all they know how to do and they don't see any way around it. But Lord, may the Holy Spirit come and give them power and strength for the journey. May you give them victory. May you give them a peace to know that you're with them through the trial, that you care for them, that you love them. Lord, we don't want a powerless church. We don't want a powerless experience. Lord, we need your power, not our own strength. Lord, if I would be an idiot to depend on my own strength in this age. I'm not depending on my own strength, Lord, for my salvation. I'm not depending on my own ability, Lord, when I get up in the pulpit and preach. I'm not depending on my own wisdom for my children's salvation. I'm not depending on my own ability, Lord, for our health, but Lord, I'm depending on you. I'm depending on you to move on the scene, Lord. I'm depending on you to answer prayers. I'm depending on you, Lord, to give us the strength that we need. Lord, I believe you raise up overcomers in each age to meet the challenge of the hour. Lord, and you never promised us a picnic. We've been called to a battle. Father, I pray that you'd give us strength. Help us to put on the whole armor of God. Help us not to be ashamed of this message. Lord, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ or of his messenger, William Branham. I'm not ashamed. I've been ashamed of many things in my life that I've done. Lord, I'm ashamed of those. I'm ashamed of mistakes. I'm ashamed of decisions that I've made when I should have made better decisions, Lord, but I'm not ashamed of you. Oh, help us, Jesus. Lord, help us to stand for truth, but help us to, Lord, draw the doors of grace wide open for anybody else, whether they see it just like us or whether they pat us on the back or rub our doctrine the right way. Help us, Lord. Lord, you had your arms open with grace to receive us when we were wrong. Who are we to try to bar up the doors of grace to keep somebody else out? Lord, as Brother Jeff said tonight, there's nobody that I want to see lost. Lord, if we have that feeling in our heart, Lord, help us to get it out quickly, Lord. You came to save those that were lost. You came to save the sinner. Oh, Lord, you didn't come looking for perfect people. You came looking for people that needed help. I'm so thankful, Lord. I wasn't perfect. I needed you. I'm still not perfect, Lord, but your word is perfect and your Spirit is perfect. I'm depending on you, Lord. I'm depending on you, Lord, for the strength to be able to lead this little group of people here in New Albany. I'm depending on you, Lord, to be able to keep the right things before my children, to set the right example for them. I'm depending on you, Lord, to help us to set an atmosphere where young people and middle-aged and old alike can have a new birth, Lord. We're depending on you tonight. Lord, if there's some that have been living with an old powerless religion that they thought they had it all figured out and they were just trying to go through the works and the motions, Lord, help them tonight, Lord. Send power from on high and quicken it. Make it alive in their life, Lord. May it be more than just a quote or a scripture. May it be life to them. May those words leap off the pages and become something personal in their own life. May they recognize, Lord, when you sent Elijah the prophet, Lord, you didn't just send him so that he could come and do something and go, and that would be that, but you sent him to call out a bride. You sent him to prepare an elect lady. Lord Jesus, help us to recognize our part. Lord, we're not trying to take the prophet's part, but we want to do our part. Help us, Jesus. Give us courage and strength. Lord, if there's any that are fighting sickness or fighting spirits, Lord, that are trying to upset them or attack them, or depression or anxiety or whatever it would be that's trying to bombard them, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just move back every enemy that would try to hinder them. Lord, may you bring them through the trial victorious. Grant deliverance, grant victory, grant peace in lives, Lord. There's no peace outside of your word today, Lord. People go and they try to drink their sorrows away. They try to take enough drugs to drown their sorrows. They try to do this and do that. Oh, Lord, but we've got something real. Something with power that can bring peace to lives, Lord. We speak peace tonight. We speak peace to family situations. We speak peace to sick bodies. We speak peace, Lord, to the brokenhearted, to the ones with emotional scars, to the ones that have built up complexes in their lives, to the ones, Lord, that Satan's tried to bombard and tried to keep them down and discouraged. Lord, may they rise up in victory tonight. May they go forth with a testimony that's always positive, never negative. Help us, Jesus. We need you, Lord. We need you in our life. We need your anointing. We need your spirit. We need power from on high. Quicken it to each one tonight, I pray. May they go out of here better than they were when they came in. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, make me more like thee. Oh, Jesus, make. Is that your desire tonight? Like thee. Oh, just give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more. Oh, just worship him tonight. He's worthy of it. Oh, make me. Out, Lord, all my personality, all my character flaws, all my desires, all my ambition, my agendas, Lord, make me like you. Oh, make me like thee. Yes, just give me and make me more like thee. How many, let's just bow our heads tonight. Wonder how many slip up your hands and say, Brother Nathan, I'm facing things like you talked about tonight, things that I don't know how I'm going to get through or how I'm going to get around. Things that the devil beats me up about. Things that he's lied to me about and he's tried to keep me down, tried to sap my victory. Try to hold me back from that overcoming power that you were talking about. Tried to hold me back from peace in my life. Amen. The Lord sees each hand. He sees each hand. Why don't we agree together? Lord Jesus, Lord, you see the hands. So many hands tonight, Lord. So many that are facing things in their life that they know in themselves they don't have the ability, they don't have the strength. Heartbreaks, scars, physical pains, Lord. Family members that are running from you. Lord, different situations in their life, Lord. Things that they know maybe they've got to address and they've got to deal with that they've tried to run from. And, oh, but Lord, may you just be with them tonight. Lord, may you give them a peace in their heart to know that if you love them enough to anoint a man to go down some of the paths of the things that they're facing, that you love them enough to deliver them, that you love them enough to give them victory, that you love them enough to give them strength to get through whatever they're facing, Lord Jesus. Lord, may they go out of here encouraged tonight to know that you care. You care because they care. You care about their needs, whether small or great. Lord, it is important enough to them to raise their hand. Lord, if it's that important to them, it's important to you. I pray, Lord, that the words that were spoken tonight would grant encouragement to them. May they go out of here strengthened, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, just give me a heart that's filled with love and make me more like thee.
Amen. If there's something tonight that spoke to your heart, I know sometimes we go out of here out of service and somebody will say, Brother Nathan, that was just for me. I needed that. Then about two people later that come and shake my hand, they'll say, Brother Nathan, that was just for me. And then about five more people, somebody will come and say, Brother Nathan, that was for me this morning. So I know it couldn't have just been for one person if it was for everybody like that. But if there was something that spoke to your heart tonight, and you know that the Lord tried to encourage you through something, through the word or through the quotes, through the scriptures or something he anointed me to say, you're going to leave these doors in a few minutes and you'll go home and you'll wake up Monday morning and the devil's going to try to tell you, that was just a coincidence. That wasn't really for you. You didn't get nothing. Will you do something for me? Tell him he's a liar. Amen. Tell him he's a liar. Amen. Amen. God cares about you tonight. Amen. Let's stand and sing this together. Maybe this is how you feel tonight.
My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail. But I have a friend who's watching over me when the breeze turns into a gale. Like an eagle to the heights, all among the peaks my soul can be found. Then some old unexpected storm, it may drive me from the heights. Well, it can bring me low, oh, but it won't bring me down. Why? 'Cause I know the master of the master of the wind. Let's sing that last verse again together. Oh, sometimes I soar like an eagle to the heights. Oh, among the peaks my soul can be found. Then some old unexpected storm, it may drive me from the heights. Well, it may bring me low, but it'll never bring me down. 'Cause I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. Oh, let my Jesus calm your storm. Make your sun shine again. I know the master. Oh, let's sing it again tonight. God bless you.
More all together. Yes, I love that man in the middle, because I know he first loved me. We give all praise to the man who died.
His overcoming power.
rushing mighty wind. It blew into the upper room. It baptized all of them. And with a power greater than any earthly foe. Oh, I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the whole world know. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind, it blew into the upper room. It baptized all of them. And with a power greater than any earthly foe. Oh, I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the whole world know. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than
for the word of the Lord this evening. Amen. Sure spoke to my heart and encouraged it. Amen. If there's no one praying, we're going to have practice here for the 14-year-old age group and up. And I pray that God blesses you with a good week. Let's sing this little chorus as we go.
We've got the power. It's in the name of Jesus. Oh, we've got the power. It's in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power. It's in the name of the Lord. Oh, we got the power. It's in the name of Jesus. We've got the power. It's in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power. It's in the name of the Lord. Oh, we've got the power. It's in the name of Jesus. Yes, we've got the power. It's in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power. It's in the name of the Lord. Thank you. shackled by a heavy burden, beneath the load of guilt and shame. But then the hand of Jesus touched me. Something